Broadway Today on Broadway for Thursday, March 9th, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Stars James Marino.
James, happy anniversary.
Oh, what'd you get me?
I got you a fresh episode of Today on Broadway.
Oh, that's so nice of you.
Yeah, but a year ago today, we put out our first beta episode of Today on Broadway. Looking through the rundown of that episode, I'm sorry, Patty, but the top story that we had was the breaking news that Nerds had postponed, canceled its Broadway run. We also talked about Disaster beginning its run on Broadway. Lasted just barely longer than Nerds. Dolly Parton developing a Broadway musical with her songs. Romy and Michelle's high school reunion musical happening in Seattle at some point. The Newsies tour ending. God, what a year Newsies has had since that announcement. The Hamilton tour going to Houston. And then we had a video, and I remember this. It was awesome. A Hamilton parody about Angela Merkel. Do you remember that, James?
No.
It was awesome.
I have no recollection of any. Who is this? Who are you?
I can't remember. Maybe I did any it by myself. Yeah, we have, the video is great. I'll put the link to our old show notes and our new show notes if you want to check out the Angela Merkel video. It's really good. It's, you know, it's set to Hamilton back when everyone was doing Hamilton parodies. I remember it being hysterical, which is why we put it in the first episode.
So the old show notes in the new show notes. It's very meta.
Oh, it is very, very meta.
Angela Merkel rap. Look at that. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. Year two. Kick it off. Oh, this is a question that I've always had for, and you're a database manager, so I can ask you. Brian D'Arcy James to make Hamilton Broadway debut.
Yes. What's the question?
The question is alphabetically, where does Brian D'Arcy James go, under D or J? Is D'Arcy his last name or is James his last name?
I believe D'Arcy is his middle name.
That's what I would imagine, yeah.
But I don't know that to be 1,000% true, but off the top of my head, I believe his last name is James. But
if there's a Brian D'Arcy James superfan out there, please tweet at us and let us know.
But aren't we all Brian D'Arcy James superfans?
We are. We are. Absolutely. So he's making his Broadway debut in Hamilton.
His Hamilton Broadway debut.
Yes. Of course.
Yes, of course. He is the original King George III, the first, because Brian D'Arcy James originated the role of King George III in Hamilton off-Broadway at the Public Theater. But because of his commitment to Something Rotten on Broadway, he was never able to either complete the off-Broadway run or to transfer with it to Broadway. He was replaced off-Broadway by the great Jonathan Groff, King George III, the second, who then transferred to Broadway as well. And the line of unbroken kings succeeded from there. However, Jeremy Gerard at Deadline Hollywood yesterday exclusively reported that just yesterday, Brian D'Arcy James committed to returning to the role on Broadway in the near future. He doesn't have any specific dates announced as of yet, but he will be back, no pun intended, in the role at some time in the near future, presumably after Taron Killam's run ends as the current King George III. Of course, we've talked about this before. Our friend Shane Marshall Brown has confirmed for us. I believe that means it will just be a return of King George III the first. I don't believe it's going to be King George III the sixth or the first the second. I don't know. But I believe it'll just be a return of King George III the first. James, this is awesome. You saw Brian D'Arcy James off Broadway, and then you saw Jonathan Groff on Broadway. From what I've heard, even though they are both hysterical in the role, they have very different approaches to the role. One, because, you know, Brian D'Arcy James has a couple years on Jonathan Groff, so he brings a kind of a different comedic style to this role than Groff Sauce did. Do you have any recollections? And I know all the shows you see, it's hard to keep things straight, but do you have recollections of what he did with this role as being significantly different from what Groff did?
No, and it's really, really hard to compare these type of things because first time seeing it, you have no idea what you're seeing. And then the second time, you're looking for different things. So I couldn't really tell you, although I tremendously enjoyed Brian in the role. And but my actual favorite role that I've ever seen, I've seen Brian in probably 10 or 15 shows or something like that, was in Lippa's Wild Party off Broadway. As Burrs, he was just intense and scary and amazing, and that was some cast. I mean, you had Taye Diggs, you had
Idina,
you had. But anyway, so that Wild Party is
Julia Murney, Stephen Pascal.
Oh, that's right.
Gracious. It's a good cast.
What a cast. Anyway, we're off a topic of the Hamilton Broadway debut of Brian D'Arcy James. So excellent. I'm glad to see that. And we'll let folks know when that comes up again. Now, the big announcement for this morning that we had to hold our podcast for a few hours. Had to hold the release until, what are we holding until 9 a.m.?
8:30.
So Bill Condon is going to bring A Star Is Born musical to Broadway, but we have to specify which Star Is Born.
Because there's literally three versions of A Star Is Born. Yes, this morning, today, we don't usually get to say announcements happen today often, but today Warner Brothers Ventures or Theater Ventures announced that Academy Award winner Bill Condon, known of course for his upcoming big screen adaptation, live action adaptation of Beauty and the Beast, but also for doing Dreamgirls and he most recently did Sideshow on Broadway. He will direct the first ever stage adaptation of A Star Is Born. This one will be based on the 1954 Warner Brothers motion picture. It will feature songs from the original film by Harold Arlen and Ira Gershwin, including The Man That Got Away and Gotta Have Me Go With Him or Go With You. The original movie starred Judy Garland and James Mason. There have since been subsequent film versions of it. And James, we've spent a number of times talking this past year in our first year of Today on Broadway, talking about the now confirmed remake with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. So it'll be interesting to see how these two things play next to each other. Warner Brothers Theater Ventures did not announce any timetable for this, but they did say that that will be announced in the near future. I think this is really cool, Jim. This is one of those quintessential stories that even though it hasn't been an official, you know, musical theater property, has very deep roots. Obviously, Kris Kristofferson and Barbra Streisand did it in the 70s. And I think the Judy Garland version, which is kind of the one that everybody thinks of as the original, it's actually the second. There was a 1930s one originally. So this upcoming film will be the fourth version of it. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how these two things play against each other, one on Broadway, one in the movie theater.
So Warner Brothers Theater Ventures is starting to really focus on Broadway, working on Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and working on the development of Beetlejuice and Dave as well.
Beetlejuice.
Don't say that.
Sorry.
So I think it would be a good idea for them to try to get this on Broadway sooner than later, if they could even perhaps beat the Bradley Cooper Lady Gaga film coming up. Because I think first to market, even though obviously it's not first to market, but if you're competing against these things, as we just talked about, the Wild Parties, when the two Wild Parties happened at the same exact time, they competed against each other in such a way that it was Broadway and off-Broadway, so that's a tough comparison to Broadway versus a widescreen release with two huge stars. But we'll have to see what happens there. That's very interesting. Next up, Roundabout Theater Company documentary wins at AVA Digital Awards.
Yeah, the Roundabout Road to Broadway, which is a 22-minute film celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Roundabout Theater Company, just picked up a gold award at this year's AVA Digital Awards. The film is directed by Andrew Lawton and hosted by some guy named Neil Patrick Harris, and it features never-before-seen interviews with Alec Baldwin, Laura Benanti, Matthew Broderick, Kristen Chenoweth, Alan Cumming, Adam Driver, Jake Gyllenhaal, Stephen Karam, Jane Krakowski, Frank Langella, Audra McDonald, Dame Helen Mirren, Liam Neeson, Christopher Plummer, and many, many more. there's been a lot of celebrations with around about 50th anniversary, but this is one that is very cool, looking at the great history of this remarkable New York institution. And what's really cool about it is one, we know this documentary is great because it's getting these awards, but they've released it in full online, free of charge, and you can watch it. It's on YouTube. I will put a link in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com if you want to check it out, or you can go specifically to the Roundabout Theater Company's YouTube page. It's really, really cool. And there's so, when you think about all the stars that have gone through shows at the Roundabout Theater Company, it really is remarkable. Just the people that I named, let alone all these other people, it's it really is an institution that I'm excited to see what happens in the next 50 years from.
Yeah, and just think about, you look back before Todd Haynes joined Roundabout, that they were on the brink of not being in existence today. It's just amazing the turnaround that Roundabout has had and the impact upon the Broadway and the global theater community at large. It's just congratulations. It's just amazing. Next up, Kate Schindel to speak for the NEA at National Press Club event next week.
Yeah, everybody that listens to this knows about the ongoing efforts for the new Trump administration to defund the National Endowment for the Arts and how the arts community has rallied together to speak out about the dramatic negative impact that would have on arts organizations, not only in big metropolises like New York and Los Angeles, but in smaller community organizations around the country. Well, the president of Actors Equity Association, also the star of the national tour of Fun Home, Kate Schindel, will speak next week at the National Press Club Newsmakers Press Conference on March 16th. That's next Thursday. She will talk about the impact that the NE grants have on not only creating jobs in theater, but fostering jobs in restaurants and hospitality, retail and transportation in theater districts throughout the country. And I think that's one thing that we haven't really talked about this, James, when it comes to the impact of arts organizations. Not only do these NEA grants go to support those organizations, but then in turn, the organizations that NEA supports then support businesses in their greater community. We often talk about how much money arts organizations bring to their community, but when you think about them maybe not having the opportunity to do that with NEA grants not coming in, it doesn't just hurt the artists. I've seen Kate do some speeches before, and she is a very powerful speaker. Obviously, going back to her days at Northwestern and then as Miss America, she is very used to giving very impassioned speeches, and I have a feeling that she will be very convincing in laying out the groundwork for why the NEA needs to be a consistent part of any presidential administration's budget in the future.
Do you know if this is going to be recorded or broadcast live or streamed or anything like that?
It is specifically a news conference, so it's not just for it's not just like a meeting or a little conference thing. It is a press conference, so I don't know if it'll be on C-SPAN or if it'll be somewhere, but it will be in front of cameras. So I would be shocked if we don't see video of it at some point, and maybe our friend David Levy over at Actors Equity will send it out via the social media for the union, and we'll be able to see it sometime next week, either Thursday or Friday.
Okay, next up, more embargoed news that Amelie is going to have a cast album.
Yeah, we kind of knew that this was coming, but it hadn't yet officially been announced. But earlier this morning, before the whole A Star Is Born thing, the producers of the original cast recording of Amelie announced that the album will be coming out on the new imprint of the Warner Music Group. It will be available for pre-order beginning today and will be released on Friday, May 19th online and on Friday, June 9th in stores. Michael Kroeder will serve as the album executive producer. Daniel Messi, who's one of the composers, and Gary Maurer will serve as producers, and Nathan Tyson, and another one of the creators, will serve as a associate producer as well. In the show notes, we will have a link so that you can pre-order the album if you would like. Amelie will begin performances on Broadway on Thursday, March 9th at the Walter Kerr Theater, ahead of an official opening on Monday, April 3rd, 2017. The musical, which we've talked about quite a bit, will star Philippa Sue. And James, there's an article, we didn't include it in the rundown because it really is something we've talked about before, but there was a great article, I believe, in the New York Times. I think it was Michael Paulson.
Yeah, I saw that today.
Talking about Three roles that Philippa Sue helped originate are going to be on Broadway at the same time. And this is something we've talked about before, but between Great Comet, she obviously originated the role of Natasha off Broadway and at Ars Nova and all that stuff. Eliza Hamilton and now Amelie, all three of these roles are going to be on Broadway at the same time. And for, you know, you would know as a former actor, revivals are great and they pay the bills and people love doing them and audiences love to go to see them. But so often you hear actors talk about how much of a thrill it is to be able to originate a role, because it's not just it's not just putting your spin on a role that's already fully formed. You get to be a part of the developmental process. And Philippa Sue was involved in the developmental process of all three of these musicals. So that's a really great run for somebody who is so early on in her career to be able to put her mark on three musicals that are going to be playing on Broadway at the same time. Congratulations to her. Congratulations to everybody who's out there creating new work for Broadway or off Broadway or regional theater or just anything. But that's a good article. I'll throw that in the show notes as well if I can track that down.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Totally tangential, but talking mm-hmm. about the ability to create a role and make it your own and things like that was, again, it's I was listening to the West Wing Weekly podcast. And
you mentioned that podcast a lot.
I love it. I love it. And there's always great Broadway information in the West Wing Weekly podcast. Joshua Molina, evidently Joshua Molina's father is very close with Manny Eisenberg, who's a famous Broadway producer. And they talked about how Josh went to the opening night of Amadeus on Broadway when Josh was 9 years old and things like this, but
Amadeus,
they were talking. Yes, rock me, Amadeus. So they were talking about this type of thing going on, and they talked about Oliver Platt was the guest on this week, and
Lionel Tribby, was that his name on the show?
No. Oliver Babish was the character. Oliver
Platt.
Oh,
that's right.
Lionel Tribby was John Larroquette.
Oh, that's right. They played. They were the White House Counsel. They both were White House Counsel.
Yes.
I believe. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So they were talking to Oliver Platt about coming into the West Wing, and John Larroquette had just abruptly left the West Wing because he had another thing. He got cast in something else, and he couldn't come back to the West Wing. So they cast Oliver Platt. Pretty quickly, and he came in, and they sent him the 11 pages of script to shoot for mm-hmm. the next morning, which if you are familiar with film and television, you shoot a page and a half to 2 pages a day, not 11 pages. Yeah. And so and Aaron Sorkin told Oliver Platt, you know, make it your own. And so Oliver, you know, did this and did that and rewrote some lines and everything like this. And it came back that he had to read it exactly as written. That he couldn't make it your own was just kind of a thing that they said.
Yeah. I don't think Aaron Sorkin takes too kindly to people messing with his dialogue. If Aaron was even writing it at that point, I don't remember.
No, he'd have to talk about that was some dialogue he had actually written. So Aaron Sorkin is the Stephen Sondheim of television.
we're so far off base anyway, but that's actually funny because I think that's a playwright thing, because a lot of people were talking about after the Academy Awards, Kenneth Lonergan, who both wrote and directed Manchester by the Sea, there was zero ad-libbing. And, you know, they talked about when you're the director, you've got everything envisioned based off the script that you know, and people changing things really kind of changes your shots and all that stuff. But I think that's more of a playwright thing than it is, you know, someone who's specifically based in film and television. Obviously, Aaron Sorkin hasn't really done too much on stage. He's become a huge TV and film person, but his roots are on the stage. He's got a musical theater degree. So I wonder if there's a correlation between that.
Interesting. So, and Aaron Sorkin has made himself available to the West Wing Weekly podcast. So maybe we can try and get him on Broadway Radio, right?
Yeah. We've got the same kind of relationship with Aaron Sorkin that Joshua Molina does.
All right. Well, maybe we can ask Laura Benanti and Javier Munoz to ask him to come on in between after they announce the Drama Desk nominations next month.
Yes, I think we could probably at least make that inquiry. Don't know what'll happen, but these two Broadway stars will announce the nominations for the 62nd annual Drama Desk Awards on Thursday, April 27th at Feinstein 54 Below, and it'll be live streamed on Theater Mania, who is one of the sponsors. I don't know if they're one of the organizers, but they're heavily involved with the Drama Desk Awards. Michael Urey will return to host and MC the event, which will take place on Sunday, June 4th at Town Hall. Benanti, who is a former host of the Drama Desks and just absolutely slayed the 2 years that she did it, she will participate in the nominations with Javier Munoz, who I don't know if he'll be back on Broadway at that point or not. He's taken some time off from Hamilton to recuperate from an injury, but I don't know in the next month and a half if he'll be back in it or not. But Benanti coming off giving birth to her first child. Javier Munoz coming off an injury. It'll be nice to see them in front of a crowd, whether it's live stream or in person, after taking some time away from it. But that's always fun. You know, the Drama Desk, other than the Tonys, it's probably, I would say, James, wouldn't you, the biggest award there is. But because it's not the Tonys, that ceremony tends to be so loose and so much fun. I always enjoy watching the live stream of that every year.
Yeah, Drama Desk is a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to, tangentially to this, to Laura Benanti's summary of the theatrical season as she's done for the last 2 or 3 years. Do you remember this?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Well, it started, one of the first ones she did was she summarized the musicals of whatever, 2014, 2015, whatever it was with Bridges of Madison County. And she summed that one up by saying, Kelly O'Hara made out with my ex-husband. So, you know.
Oh,
that's always good. Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for spending some of your Thursday with us, and we'll be back and wrap up the week tomorrow.